Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, welcome to the Roastcast. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Rim. This is where you go and I'm AB.
Oh.
My name is Rim.
My name's AB.
No, just do an I'm AB. Don't do the my name.
Oh, okay.
Just go and I'm AB. Just do that. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. My name's Rim.
And I'm AB.
All right, the chemistry, as you can tell, we got great chemistry. Finish each other's sentences. folks, you're listening to the number one interracial male bachelor recap podcast duo in the world. Did you know that, AB?
I did. Yes, I did.
It's unconfirmed, but folks, I defy you to find a better podcast that fits that description. Okay, you can't do it. You can't do it. All right, AB, with that said, let's get right into it. Hometowns.
Let's do it.
I'm feeling good. I have good notes. It's 11 p.m. on Wednesday night. I'm drinking a Diet Coke. Quick question. I'm not a huge pop guy. Diet Coke, will that keep me up late? Does that have caffeine? Does that have what I need to stay up late?
I think so.
Okay, so we don't know that for sure.
I'm not positive.
The empty calories here. All right. Well, like I said, not a pop guy. Are you ready to roll?
Yes.
AB, the show opens. We're still on this shithole island, Bimini. The drama continues. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, little Rim Harrison. We're fresh off of Nick's shocking and stupid elimination. That's how you could describe all of Nick's eliminations, shocking and stupid.
Absolutely.
But this one in particular with Christina, when he kicks Christina off.
For no reason.
We're not going to go back into the details, but the answer is no reason. Corinne, for the first time, realized, you know, Corinne this whole time has thought she's a shoo-in, right? But this is the first time she realizes that there's a chance she might not actually win, and she is freaking out.
Yeah, she says, I'm scared. He's very unpredictable. She basically said what I said last week. Yeah. It is how the girls are going to be feeling now. He's very unpredictable. And I'm just nervous. That's how all the girls have got to be feeling. You never know when Nick's going to show up and send you home for no reason, no matter what your relationship is like and what you've talked about with him.
Period. Luckily for these four fine young ladies, he does the opposite. He shows up out of nowhere, unannounced, an hour
cash
after.
As fuck. Like he didn't just cash. Send someone home out of nowhere.
Yep. Shows up, got a grip of roses in his hands from Flowerama. Shout out to First Avenue. And he shows up and he sits down and he says, I just didn't have it in me to have Christina sit through another rose ceremony. AB, last week you made the very salient point on this topic, which by the way, we featured in a Twitter, video clip. Follow Rosecast ES on Twitter, folks. Just a little plug Saru there. But Nick foregoing the traditional rose ceremony is as we discussed, so much worse.
It's terrible.
But he thinks he's getting points for it in these ladies' eyes. What do you got on this?
When he walks in, it's like the Grim Reaper showing up, like,
man.
Shit. He's going home. He could just be showing up for any reason, but at this point, it's pure fear when they see their boyfriend.
It's pure fear when they see their boyfriend. What's weird about Nick is he has this gentleman switch that he flips on every now and then. So he's like a scumbag most of the time, but every now and then he'll turn on this gentleman switch. This gentleman switch came around when he had to disperse these roses, and he made it very clear that he did not want to assume anyone would accept the rose. So he went through the process, even though they're just sitting on a couch in their pajamas, he went through the process of asking every girl, "Will you accept this rose?" Of course, all four do, because, you know, they're just grateful to still be on the show after they thought it was going to end 2 or 3 weeks ago, so.
Absolutely.
AB, what's our first hometown?
Moxie.
What is Moxie?
Or Hoxie.
Okay, I thought that was like Hoxie. A pun.
What is
Hoxie.
It?
It's Hoxie. You say,
first I said Moxie.
You go, Moxie. I'm like, did I miss like the pun during the show? I didn't get that. It's Hoxie, Arkansas. Hoxie, Arkansas.
Is it Hoxie or Hoxie?
I think it's Hoxie because I initially thought it was Hoxie, and I just remember her saying it in a way that I wouldn't say it. So I think it's Hoxie.
Gotcha.
There's few enough people in this town that there are probably like 7 different ways to say it, and each person says it a different way. AB, still can't believe Raven's here. Raven's in hometowns when you come up with the list of girls that are gone.
I tell you.
Danielle L, Danielle M, Christina, on down the line. And here's Raven in a fucking swamp in Hoxie, Arkansas.
Listen, are you mad about it, though?
I'm indifferent toward it. I'll put it that way. I'm not mad.
Hometown
I'm not mad.
That you've never seen before. Never been to a hometown like this.
Well, I haven't seen many hometowns. Just for clarification, that I haven't watched the show for that long. So, I mean, from all I know, this could be a common hometown. You go down to the Gator Swamp and roll around in the mud.
The closest thing I saw was when Chris Soules was there for his hometown. In Iowa.
Small town. Now, didn't they have to like drive to Cedar Rapids to go to football game?
They went to like Waterloo. They went to a Cedar Falls football That's game, right. I believe.
Which is probably an hour and a half away from actually his hometown.
There's nothing in whatever town he's from. Just like there's nothing in this town.
Nothing. I was soft ass Nick was probably concerned that his perfectly manicured hair and beard was going to get messed up when they started doing the ATV. And I bring that up because I have a quick aside, AB. We haven't talked much about this. I have a beard.
Yeah.
Most people say, including myself, that I look better with a beard, so I keep it year round. Have you ever in your life seen someone with a more dramatic increase in looks from no beard to beard than Nick Fayal? I mean, the guy is truly hideous without a beard.
With it's a beard, scary. He's one of the top people I know.
He's fabulous. He's fabulous with a beard. I'm just wondering if that might not be something you think about on a day-to-day basis, but for me it is.
That's a great point.
So you agree?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. He's a sexy, sexy man with a beard. Without, he's a dork.
He's a dork. He's a dork. All right, moving on to the grain bin. AB, what was Raven's, like, okay, so she set up this prank, if you want to, an old Hoxie prank, because everybody knows how those go down. But what was her, I can't even remember, what was her rationale for going on the grain bin in the first place? It made no sense to me.
The grain bin is where you go in Hoxie to tell your secrets. So if you have something big to talk about with someone, okay, you go up to the grain bin, and you empty your
heart. That's where you let it spit, you empty your heart. AB, we're from Iowa.
Yeah.
We see grain bins occasionally. Pay them no mind.
Seen grain bins.
The only time, never been close to a grain bin. Don't really know how they work. I imagine they're...
What is a grain bin? Is it just where grain is?
I think they just keep grain in there, but are there like blades churning? And I ask because the only times I ever think of a grain bin is when I hear about someone falling into one and dying. That's the only time I think about grain bins. And basically, I think the only way you can do that is if you go up these grain bin stairs like they did and like tripping and falling in. So I was like, I feel like they don't take safety seriously in Hoxie. This is my take. What do you got on this, this police prank?
Enjoyed it, Rim. Big prank guy on these hometowns. I like when they do the pranks. Big fan of it. And this one hit.
This one did hit.
Nick got nervous.
Nick did get nervous. I think he probably knew that it was someone in relation to Raven right away because he looked just like a fat Raven. Was it her older brother or younger brother?
Older brother.
Is her, okay. Because I was wondering maybe it might have been her dad, our boy Weston. Don't be kissing on that grain bin. I'll be watching. Okay, so you're okay that they scaled the grain bin? Is that is that not against the rules?
Listen, the prank was there, but the grain bin climbing, that's a thing. That she didn't make that up.
Wait, she didn't make that up?
No, I think that's what they do in hoaxing.
Oh, no. I think that was just a bullshit excuse to get him up there.
No, because earlier when she's talking to the camera, she says... To have fun in Hog City. First of all, she says Hog City, which is
that's funny.
Which is hilarious. She goes, to have fun in Hog City, you go mudding, you go frog digging. I think she said frog. I swear to God, Rim, I watched it like four times back. Only thing I could come up with was frog digging.
I would like to know more about frog digging.
You go mudding, you go frog digging, and you go climbing grain bins. She was talking to the audience at that point, not Nick. Climbing grain bins is something they do in Hoaxy.
All right, if you are one of our many Arkansas listeners, you need to let us know if that's true or not, because two country guys up here have no clue if that's real or not. None.
What do you think frog digging is?
I'd have to ask my brother. He was big into frog digging, I think, when we were younger.
For real?
No, he wasn't into frog digging, but he was big. Like if. If he saw a frog, he'd snatch it out of the air. You know how, this is my brother's, and you know him. You know how he can grab flies out of the air? Have you ever seen him do that? Like snatch.
Like Karate Kid.
Like Karate Kid. This is how we know he might be on the spectrum. Because he can snatch, he just goes, like a, and we're not talking about like hovering flies. We're talking about these things
are
zooming around. Fucking snatches them out of the sky. That's unrelated, but as a child, he used to be big into like catching frogs. I don't know what he did with them. He'd catch them and release, but I imagine he snatched those right out of their holes, wherever the frogs live. Don't ask me, AB. Don't ask me this wildlife shit. I haven't watched Planet Earth 2 yet. All right, give me a break. AB, what do you got about this ATV race followed by the most disgusting makeout? I know what you're going to say. You're not a dirt guy, but the most disgusting makeout session in the muck of this town. This was probably town square for all we know.
Is it just me, or did the four-wheeling seem mad scary? Like, they're zooming around way too fast, like in this wetland. What the fuck's going on here?
The wetland does, that's a factor that makes it a little more dangerous. I will say, some you don't know about me, I spent most of my teenage years and early 20s zooming around in an ATV.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Used to work at a golf course. One year they upgraded the range picker from a regular golf cart to a full-on, like, $20,000 ATV. And I promise you, it could go 70 miles an hour, all right? I just want to be clear. It could go 70 miles an hour.
And are they scary?
Yeah. I mean, those things go fast. Those things go very fast. I'll put it this way. I can easily see how people die on them.
Oh, yeah. I could tell that from the episode. They're zooming around on the wetlands.
Too fast. Too fast. But anyway, the makeout sesh. We gotta talk about that. I mean, that's like a sender home. I don't think she wanted any part of it. I think Nick kind of, for lack of a better term, forced himself upon her.
He took his shirt off. I'm not certain why he took his shirt off. That wasn't
right
the vibe
off.
I got from what was going on during the date. But Nick whips his shirt off and then like places her in the water.
Gently.
She, knowing what this water is, like, kind of held her neck up, you know, like, when you're trying to give your dog a bath, and they won't get under the water. That's kind of what he's trying to force her down into the water, and she's kind of stiffening up.
I kept thinking of that scene in Star Wars when they're in the trash compactor and then there's that there's that like slithering huge snake rolling around. Like there was something. I mean, there's snakes in there. That's where snakes are, is where they were. Okay. So the Raven was probably trying to like give him some pecks and realizing like this is actually a nightmare. I'm a down home country girl, but you need to get me the fuck up out of here immediately.
That is how diseases spread, Rim.
Yeah. Counterpoint, that's how you build your immune system. All right? Not a germ guy. All
okay,
right.
Okay.
Time to meet the family. First question. AB, Nick brought flowers and chocolates. Are chocolates a weird move?
Chocolates is a Valentine's Day only get. Like, when? Yeah. What other times do you give someone chocolates? That's very weird.
Not in on that move. I'll put it this way. One of the Bachelor ABC fantasy game questions was, what does Nick bring every mother? Mm-hmm. Flowers or flowers and chocolate? Like, flowers and chocolates, I think, was the other answer. Folks, he brought it to the first hometown. He didn't bring chocolates to the rest of the hometown, so they must not have been very well received. 36-year-old man showing up with a box of Russell Stovers to meet the family of the woman he might marry in like 2 weeks.
What in the world did you bring those chocolates for?
Not a top 10 concerning move from Nick this episode, though. Alrighty, B. Daddy's cancer-free. What a big news, big emotional moment. We got a guy we just met, the big reveal. He's cancer-free. Did you buy the authenticity of this reveal?
Yeah. What do you mean?
AB, you take
too
fake?
Many... You think Raven already knew about this?
You take too many things at face value. AB, if your father is battling cancer, okay, and it's questionable whether or not he's going to live.
Yep.
That is, and then he overcomes that. He beats cancer.
It's a big deal.
And not just, oh, I beat cancer, I fought it off this time. It's like the doctor said, I'm guaranteed to never have cancer again. It's basically how he said it. Don't you think that news would be worth sharing? Like, why would you hold that news until the hometown dates of The Bachelor? I feel like somebody would have got a hold of her before that, so she wasn't going to sleep every night thinking her dad could die at any minute.
Okay. You sold me.
All right. Bing, bang, boom.
The weird thing to me about that whole situation, I didn't even think about that. I couldn't get over, they tell him, and then Nick starts like a slow clap.
Like, no a little, one else, like a soft, yeah, like a little golf.
No one else is clapping. It was very weird. Awkward.
Well, the reason you clap, everyone knows why you clap softly at night in Hoaxy.
Why is that?
You don't want to wake the neighbors. Little shotgun joke, a little shotgun humor for the folks out there. Thanks for listening. AB, what a weird situation to put him in. He just sat down after shaking hands with the guy, and then they're going to do this big reveal. Hey, nice to meet you, Nick. Raven, by the way, I don't have cancer anymore. And everyone's crying, and Nick is like, okay. I mean, this was too heavy. This was a heavy opener.
That's a theme for the entire episode, I feel like. It was a pretty heavy episode in terms of The Bachelor, and I enjoyed it.
Raven's dad didn't seem to really care that Nick was in the room. He didn't seem to care about Nick.
He had cancer. He didn't give a shit about this.
He's just happy to be alive.
Yeah, he didn't care about this.
Care about this piece of shit douchebag. All right, that was too many. You know, we try to spread out the swears here on the Rosecast. That was too many too quickly. I got a quick thing. Raven mentioned her terrible ex-boyfriend to her mother, and her mother immediately cut her off. AB, you might not have even noticed that.
I didn't.
My sneaky favorite part of hometowns are when the contestants, male or female, we saw this on JoJo's season, talk about their last, like, huge breakup with their family, mm-hmm. and every single one was, like, soul-crushingly bad breakup. And all of them were like, they almost got married, but then, they cheated on him and all this stuff. What do you think Raven's ex-boyfriend is in jail for?
Is he really in jail?
No, I'm just making an assumption about Arkansas, if you want to. My birthplace, by the way, so it's like I can say it, you know.
He's like that person you can't talk about in this family, basically.
Yep. She's like, no, honey, no, like, put her finger on her lips. Like, no, we don't, you must not be named. AB, what do you got on Nick and Raven's dad? Our first Nick and dad sit down. They're probably only about 13 years apart in age. What do you got on this first big sit down?
I enjoyed Raven's family altogether. One of my favorite hometown families. Just a down to earth. They didn't dig into it too much. Raven's dad seemed like a good guy. I was in on this family.
If I were to power rank the families, which I can't believe we didn't plan on doing, but we're going to.
Let's hear it.
If I were to power rank the families, I'll start at four. Number four. out of four, Raven's family. Okay.
Okay.
The worst family.
I like their family.
The lamest family. The dad was wholly disinterested. He said, even said to Nick's face, I expected not to like you, but you're a real likable guy. I don't know where he got that vibe. This is basically how the conversation went. This was the start of four bad conversations from Nick on Nick's end, right? He says, congratulations on not having cancer. That's so awesome. Awesome. So I was wondering if I were to ask your daughter to marry me, would you be okay with that? Or that's pretty much what Nick said. Cancer-free dad goes, I could live with that. Now, I don't know if he was making a joke about like his life being like up in the air, but it hit for me.
It's a good joke.
What do you got on Raven not telling Nick that she loves him yet?
Okay. Am I the only one remembering Raven telling him she loved him a long time ago, accidentally?
Oh.
Like four episodes. I was very confused by this the entire episode. You already told him.
The Bachelor Sensei.
You already told him you love him. Who cares? What are you talking about? You're the first one.
That was at the Ghost Plantation house.
Yeah. Plantation.
She goes, I love you.
Whoops.
And then did the, what an accident, though.
He knows.
Wow.
Raven.
AB. I got short-term memory loss, so I totally forgot about that. Glad you brought it up. AB.
I don't get it. She said that a bunch this episode. Like, I gotta tell him before the rose ceremony. It's like, no, you already told him. You came in first place in the I love you category.
Wow. Well, I don't blame her because, you know, like all the other women left, she barely knows Nick and has no place to even consider marriage at the moment. At the point that these people are at independently in their relationships, I mean, it makes sense that you would hold off on saying that. But
she said something pretty telling. She said, I'm just worried that I might be the only one who hasn't said I love you. Okay, well, that's not a reason to tell someone you love them.
Oh, on The Bachelor it is. did we switch roles here? Usually I'm the one who approaches it like the rational person, and you're like, oh, but Rim, this is The Bachelor, though.
That's when you knew Raven was purely playing this like a game, not for anything in real life.
That's true. The other contestants talk about the other contestants as if they're like, oh shit, I just remembered, like, he's dating other women. I've been so wrapped up in my love for Nick that yep. I forget that he dates other women at the same time as me. Raven was like, I haven't told him I loved him. Where does that put me in the power rankings? Nick's personal power rankings. That's a good point. You want to go to Dallas?
Yeah, let's go to Dallas.
Couple of Dallas guys here. Rim and AB, if we've ever been to a city, we become, and we don't hate the city, we become, insert city name, and then guys. So we're, we're Nashville guys, we're Dallas guys, we're Atlanta guys, Chattanooga guys. All right. Nick kind of surprised me a little bit. He said him and Rachel have the most explosive chemistry. Now, of all the women in the house, now when you consider the types of things that Nick says about these women, both to their faces and to their families, that's high praise. Most explosive is high praise. I still can't believe they let this Bachelorette thing leak.
I'm starting to wonder if she might be in the final two here, Rim.
Oh, no way. No way.
She's not going home this episode or next episode.
I think she has to, but I thought that
I
last time.
So. What if she won? What if she wins?
Okay, I'll put it this way. If she makes it to the final two, then you know she wins, because that would be so shocking.
Nuts. Right?
But here's what I think's happening. It's a little bit of, like you said, they knew it was going to leak, so they got out in front of it.
I think it had to be that.
It's also a little bit of, if they would have announced it when they did, and then she went home 15 minutes later that night, America doesn't have as good of a relationship with Rachel. Now we're seeing her at home, and we're seeing her, you know, before, like, she's going to be on at least three episodes where we know she's going to be the Bachelorette. And I think that screen time, like, we're falling in love. You and I were in love with her before, but now yeah. It's like America gets a chance to see her. She's on stage as the pre-Bachelorette, and I think that can only benefit her. It's weird for it. you know, is a vasectomy on this show this particular season. But I think that helps her for next, for her show.
Yeah.
You want to go to a black megachurch? Are you interested? Interested to hit one of those up? My opinion, one white man's opinion, you've never been to one. I would say of all the churches, that's probably the best kind of church. It's a black megachurch.
I would 100% agree.
What did you think of Nick sticking out like a sore thumb, only white guy in there?
I mean, he was awkward as shit, Rim, which is understandable. I mean, as a white guy, there's not many situations that you go into and you're the minority if you're in America, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has that happened to you? Where it's been 99% black people.
God, I don't know. Not enough for my liking. I'll put it that way. What do you got? Did you like how the pastor phrased it when he called him out for, you know, he called the two out
for
being...
Have you ever been in this situation before, pal?
He goes, have you ever been in this space before?
Oh, this space,
Which wasn't like this room. It was like, you ever been in this...
You've been around this many black people before, Nick?
with no lifeboats, with no white friends in here, Nick? What are you going to do? And Nick's like, well, not in this room, but... Oh. AB, after church, we find out... I'd say probably the biggest disappointment of the season is that Rachel's hard-ass judge of a dad will not be present for any of these.
Unreal. We've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
Since New Orleans.
Classic ABC. I mean, what else do you expect? These little tees.
Just dangle it out there for us and then snatch it away at the last minute.
I did a little bit of research on this guy. Apparently, he's had some controversial decisions.
Uh-oh.
Some very unpopular decisions. Now, if you're a federal judge, there's going to be people out there who are mad at something you did at
Absolutely.
Some point. So maybe I was just reading that the wrong website. Maybe it was a good... I find it hard to believe that he couldn't make time for this, so I'm wondering if he just wanted to stay out of the spotlight.
The best part about that is just looking at Nick and seeing all the weight come off his shoulders when he let a huge sigh out like, oh.
He's like, oh, I'm so disappointed.
You are not disappointed. Let me tell you that. You would rather not meet him until wedding day. That's a fact. And maybe later.
Man, I can't imagine this guy's forearms. He would put Nick in a locker to die.
Guy dodged a bullet here. Big bullet.
Big time bullet. All right, let's meet this family. Nick is very nervous to meet this family. You could say he's more nervous than he was with the other families.
Absolutely. Well, for one, did you see what he was... I kind of started to take note of what he was wearing throughout the episode.
Yeah.
So I have down what he wore on all of them. And basically, the Raven, the Vanessa, and the Corinne dates, he's wearing like his usual mad cool, casual, swagged out, killer outfits, you know?
They're fine. I mean, they're fine.
They're good outfits, especially Corinne. The one that Corinne bought him, that's a dope outfit.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Then we come to Rachel's family, and he's wearing like this dorky button-up, just a regular button-up and like khaki slacks. Like,
no, he had a sport coat on too. He had a jacket on.
That was to the church. He wore the sport coat to the church and then he took it off for the actual family. He was just wearing a blue button up.
Well, we're in the house with the family. A lot of motherfuckers in the mix here, AB. A lot of people.
A lot of people,
including a white person.
White person.
Whoa.
Here.
Talk about more relief just melting away.
Oh. Yeah. Didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa. And like, he's an ugly white person too. So automatically like Nick's up, like he's the top white guy in this
top white guy
black family now. And that's good. Something good's got to come from that. Rachel hit us with the line of the night, AB, which is something I think we could all apply in one way or another. You're nodding your head. I think we could all apply this logic to our own lives. In this family, you don't need to have a black skin. You need to have thick skin.
Mm-hmm. Those are the type of quotes we're getting all season long next season. Can't wait.
That's my next note. She's going to be an outstanding bachelorette. Outstanding.
Nick hasn't said anything that good in four full seasons of taping at this point.
I believe that. And if he did, nobody heard it because he mumbled it. You got anything on this interaction with her, with Rachel's sister and her husband?
What's that brother-in-law? What is he doing? What's his deal, Rim?
What's his deal? Yeah, I don't know.
Guys, first off, know your role, and you're not invited to this conversation, actually. Like, that's not protocol.
The brother-in-law
doesn't get to sit down and have, like, who gives a shit what you think as the brother-in-law? What are you doing?
Listen, AB, it's because he's white, period. That's what they wanted, to get those four into the room together.
Yeah.
That's it.
What about how he tried to make it into like a sitcom audition for him?
He overreached quite a bit.
This guy wasn't funny at all.
He ran the show. How about the mom? The mom, the old lady, no husband there. She's really, truly running the ship. 0-for-2 on parent interactions from Nick. Rachel's mom asks him, do you have any red flags about Rachel? He provides no red flags. That's kind of a warning sign for a mom. Like, okay, you don't really know her if you don't know enough about her to have something you dislike.
Any quirks or anything? Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Bud.
What annoys you about her? I got stuff that annoys you about me and vice versa, AB. It's because we know each other. There's people I don't know as well. I got nothing bad to say about them. The more you get to know somebody, you got to know these little things that bother you.
Absolutely. How do you think Nick did with all of the questions about the interracial dating elephant in the room that hadn't been touched on this season?
I think he did actually pretty well.
Do you?
I do. I mean, he was deferential in his answers, I think. I don't think he tried to lecture anybody or be something that he was not. I think, given how low my bar is for this guy on everything in general, I think he exceeded. What do you think?
I thought he did pretty good. But more so, I was happy they touched on this topic.
Yes.
Made me feel good, feel a little better about watching The Bachelor. Because maybe this changed some people's minds out there, you know?
Oh.
It was a good topic to bring up. You don't hear a lot of it on TV. And I'm sure it shed some light into some people's lives that, you know, of situations that they don't really think about that much.
You really don't hear a lot about, how this kind of thing is talked about on TV.
And still is kind of not, it's not the norm and not accepted by everyone in the, you know, in America.
You get looks, especially if they move down to Texas. They're going to get some looks. Though I'm glad that it was openly discussed, and your reasoning being that ABC and The Bachelor have avoided stuff like this for the entirety of the show's existence. Did you think that it was a little too much? It seemed while he was in this house, that was the topic of discussion.
It's all they talked
about.
With
everyone.
Yeah.
It was a little much for me.
I think the family wanted more from his answer and wanted to know that he had thought about it more. And I don't think that he gave them enough. So they continued to harp on it. Like, hey,
okay,
if you move down to Dallas, like, have you thought about this? And how this, you know, everyone's not going to agree with your relationship with our daughter. Have you thought about this and how you're going to deal with it and how you're going to protect her from that? And he didn't give them much, which it's a tough situation for him to be in as well.
He should have expected it.
Yeah.
They were basically like, you're going to have to get some tinted windows, bud. All right. Make sure you tint them shits 5%. Shout out to Slim Thug. AB, last thing I have on this is Rachel's mom talking with Rachel. Now, Rachel's mom struck me as someone who's like, I don't buy into all this bullshit. Like, you don't need to be with him. Saying that in so many words to her daughter on camera. What was weird to me is Rachel's mom brought up why she fell in love with Rachel's dad. For these reasons, he knew where he was going in life, and he was very self-assured. Rachel took that as a comparison of Nick to Mr. Lindsay, but that's not what she said. she was just saying those things. In my eyes, she was saying them like, Nick isn't that. Like, if anyone is lost in their life, it's the guy who's on The Bachelor for the fourth time.
At 36.
That guy doesn't have direction.
elephant in the room that hasn't been talked about this season, Nick doesn't have a job to go back to after
No.
Side note.
He doesn't. He's got no job
prospects.
None
of these girls seem to know that. Like, what?
No.
We can talk about that a little later because other dates get into it more, but no one seems to know what Nick's plans are after The Bachelor.
Oh, man. At least of all him.
Yeah, he's got no clue.
That's why it's so stunning to me that, well, I don't want to, I've heard that whoever he picks, he does not end up with. I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, Nick, you got to lock a breadwinner down at this point. You can't be out here playing these games. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Every other Bachelor that I've seen goes back to like a thriving career.
Exactly.
He's been on the show for 3 years.
He's got to hope that he can turn this into a more reality television. That's all he's got.
Better not shave his beard if that's the case. All right, anything else on Rachel's hometown?
I don't think so.
It was fine. I mean, in terms of like excitement, it was fine. I like the topics of discussion.
Absolutely.
She is great.
She's great.
She is great. She's going to blow JoJo out of the water for Bachelorette.
Her
out of the water.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
All right, Corinne hometown. FYI, I didn't know where Corinne was from, flat out. I didn't know. Apparently, they live in Miami. I had no idea. AB, Corinne wanted to take Nick to a place where she feels very at home. Where was that?
Some sort of designer shopping mall.
Designer.
Only,
we don't know the brands.
Only super designer brands that I've never heard of.
It appears to be some sort of indoor mall with palm trees inside. That's how you, know it's... I mean... You have days, maybe weeks, maybe even months to figure out what you're going to do in your hometown to try and convince Nick that he should pick you to be his wife. And Corinne takes him to the fucking mall, AB. Yep. She takes him shopping. Okay.
It's what she loves the most, Rim.
Even for Corinne, I could not. This was surprising to me.
She was in her element, though. She started giving those Corinne pro shopping tips.
Now, I don't know about you. I feel like you're not a big shopping guy. You probably get dragged to Target every 3 days.
I shop a ton, but I dislike it a lot.
The personal red flag for me, if the girl I'm with rolls up to like the Givenchy store, or any store really, but big name brand stores, and she greets the people at the cash register like, oh my god, good, how are you, like Christmas card exchanges, that's money flying out of your wallet right there.
It's a red flag.
That's a no-go. I mean, you compare it to Raven. I mean, you can spoil Raven on $30 for a meal. $30 will spoil Raven.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so quick reset before we get into the family. Nick likes Corinne's body, and Corinne loves shopping. So, yeah, I see no reason why they shouldn't get married. And she's like 14 years younger than him. So, what a couple.
It works.
AB, I'm wearing a regular gray sweatshirt.
I see
okay,
that.
You can see it.
Yep. Yep.
What do you think? Pretty fire, right? Like,
yeah, it's a good sweatshirt.
It's a good sweatshirt. I legit get compliments on it. All right. $20 from Shields. Okay.
Okay.
Do you notice any difference between this sweatshirt and the one that Corinne paid $600 for that Nick wore? $600?
Have you ever heard? He said $800 sweatpants too. I'm putting on $800 sweatpants and $600 sweatshirt, and it looked like something you could buy at Scheels, a sporting goods store.
A $600 sweatshirt, I can fathom that. Okay, like I the fabrics and all that, and Kanye makes them look cool and all that. That is within the realm of possibility. $800 sweatpants?
Sweatpants are casual wear.
Where are you going to wear those sweatpants?
Those are to wear at the house.
Sweatpants are house only, or if you're going to a rec basketball game.
Now, all that being said, those sweatpants, when he came out with them on, those were dope.
They were crucial.
They were almost worth it.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we should get into the luxury leisure wear game. Athleisure. Maybe the $600 athleisure jumpsuit bros. I like how just now it's just now coming to light that Corinne has expensive tastes. Like, he's just now realizing, like, whoa, she likes expensive things. Whoa. Like, what did you expect? What do you got on this I love you sequence at the mall? Like a fucking teenager. Like,
you don't want to talk about how much her bill was that she paid?
Nah. $3,000-$4,000.
$3,423 purchase?
What did the cash register guy say? He's like, oh, but this is such a statement outfit. And then Kring goes, it's a statement outfit. Like, you gotta get it.
No, it's this is such a classic look.
Classic look. Yeah.
$3,000.
I think it was just for four items. It was like sweatshirt, sweatpants.
Just for his clothes.
Oof.
Think about that gift. If someone got you that, first of all, she just won the show.
No, because he can't support her. He can't support her taste.
He doesn't need to support her.
That's true. God, I keep taking me back to the shallowest part of his brain.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, if we're looking at this from a strictly logistical standpoint, Nick moving to Miami and marrying a girl who can pay for his existence, I mean, that's the choice, no matter how horrible she is as a person. It's got to be her.
I don't even think so. I started to turn around on Corinne. I haven't hated her as much as everyone else, but I actually started to like her. I'm fine with her. She's spoiled.
Yeah.
But she was in her element. And I mean, I can't promise you, if I was a multimillionaire, I wouldn't be buying $6,000 outfits at the Gucci store and shit like that. I can't promise that.
Nature versus nurture, AB. Okay. She showed that she had a little bit of a heart this episode. Like, she's a real person. Okay. Anyway, the I love you sequence in the food court at the mall. Literally the food court at the mall, AB. Yep. What do you got on this?
A ballin' mall, though. It's not your normal mall.
Kind of a romantic mall, would you say?
Romantic mall.
Okay. All right. It's a good move.
I thought it was nice. She seemed genuine with the I love you. I like
these. I love you. These I love you setups seem really more forced than usual. Like, the girls seem like they're in agony saying this to him, and some of them back out at the last second and don't say.
Get that from her. I felt she was genuinely nervous.
I feel like you have a thing for Corinne. Is that what I'm hearing?
Like, she's my favorite person on here remaining, besides Rachel, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. What was odd is Corinne seems to be the only contestant who realizes that he can't say anything back.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, he didn't say it back. I'm like,
You
ever watched the show?
Corinne has dropped the whole,
the whipped cream Corinne. Whipped cream Corinne is gone now.
Yeah. She's dropped the evil, villain Corinne, and now she's fine.
She's fine. She's not horrible. She's still like 23 or 24.
She's way too young for him. She is super spoiled, but I mean, she didn't seem like a bad
but other than that,
anymore.
Okay, that's fair. Side note, people forget this was her first one-on-one.
People do forget that. I did.
I know you did.
I forgot that until you just said that. This is
first
one-on-one. Good call.
The way you describe their conversations during group dates and at the house and all that, they probably haven't had that much time together, right? First one-on-one, and she said she loved him. So you're buying the authenticity of that.
Listen, I wrote down, I think she's got a real shot here. I really do. This is the first time I've really believed that she has a shot to win. I've always thought she's going to be make it far, but I think she has a chance to win at this point.
I agree, and it's because of Corinne's family, starting with Jim Olympios, Corinne's dad.
The legend.
AB, the guy's the best. He looks like Don Vito from the Bam Margera show. Rest in peace, Don Vito, by the way. I'd say the funniest inadvertent TV character in history. He was just who he was. So
I agree.
Rest in peace. Moment of silence for Don Vito. Okay. Finally, AB, we meet the most intriguing character on the show, Raquel.
Raquel.
Cooking up fire.
I just took Raquel as part of the family, Rim. They kind of used her as a negative. You're not going to like this. I'm spinning everything Corinne's favor this episode. Yeah, I'm pro Corinne now. I'm sorry to the listeners that don't like her. Quit hating.
Your AB's pro indentured servitude.
ABC clearly set out to make Corinne the villain. It was a brilliant move because she was the only one. She had great cutscenes and all that. But even the nanny thing doesn't seem as bad as it once did. Like, they're talking about how she's part of the family. She's sitting at the dinner table to eat. It doesn't.
That was a put on. They put that on. She's usually at a side table. Maybe Corinne is the one that's called her a nanny and then questioned.
I'm not saying that she's not a nanny, but she's more of like, what's his name? Jeffrey on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air than she is like a slave, which is what they made her to seem out to be at the start of this show. Like, she's a part of the family.
Okay. The Jeffrey comparison is A1, right? just we're on the same page as that. Are you at all concerned with the fact that she doesn't seem very proficient with speaking English, even though she's worked for the Olympios family for 17 years? Does that concern you at all?
Nope. Brush that aside.
Does it concern you that she only seems to understand commands and doesn't really understand conversational English? Just commands. Do this, Raquel. Do that. Okay. If you want to brush that aside. Corinne mentioned at some point, I don't know when, but she said that my parents got a little iffy about my last boyfriend. Now, do you think she's talking about 2 Chainz or Juicy J? A little joke. She's in a 2 Chainz video, folks, like 7 years ago. A little joke for the insiders. A little Bachelor inside knowledge.
For all my Corinne hate, I did think in the middle of this episode, like, if I was that dad, this is my worst fucking nightmare for this 36-year-old to come to be brought home by my 24-year-old daughter. That's my worst nightmare.
With no job.
With no job. And 3 other boyfriends. That's my word. I mean, what
girlfriends?
What stops you from bashing his head against the table?
I was stunned by how kind of well received Nick was by this man who knows Nick can't support his daughter's lifestyle.
Like it was going to be way worse than it was. Like, before he got there, they're doing a scene with the dad, and he's talking about how Nick's on strike 5.
Oh, what? I didn't see that part.
Didn't see that? He's like, he's 36, so that's like 4 strikes right there.
4 strikes.
That's what he said to start, but then it was all fine when he got in there.
It was kind of weirdly fine.
Nick and his dad hit it off, I think.
They hit it off.
They really enjoy nice scotch.
They do. Don Vito did start that combo off with a joke about the scotch glasses,
yep.
Which Nick is apparently a scotch guy, allegedly. If you don't know, I've never seen or heard of those glasses in my life, but I gotta think that if you're a scotch guy, you know where the thumb goes on the special thumb scotch glasses. Just my take again. That's scotch guy. He said, if she's happy, I'm happy. It was almost so surprising that I didn't buy it, AB. I mean, he knows. Listen, if you raise your daughter and she's spoiled and you know she's spoiled and you acknowledge it, you can't let her marry a guy with no job. AB shrugs his shoulders. Listen, Mr. Spin Zone. Okay, anything else you got on the Nick dad interaction? I mean, they just Nick asked Don Vito if he could marry Corinne, which is nice of him to do. Jordan.
They have 15-year-old scotch, and it seems like a life that Nick could get really used to.
I feel like they got along well. I wrote at the end of this hometown date, I feel like Corinne has a shot now. Like you said, I think she has a shot.
What do you think of Corinne's mom?
Forgettable. Don't even remember. Her name was Perry. That was weird, but that's it. Oh, no, she did say something that was very funny, I'll say. Corinne was basically telling her mom that she loved Nick, and then her instant response was, well, yeah, but this is fantasy. Like, she didn't seem to understand that. Yeah, it's a reality TV show, but, like, the human beings are real. It's not scripted.
A lot of people think it's a lot fake on The Bachelor, but it's your daughter is on it. This is
she's not like, pretending to be on it.
Completely fake. I mean,
yeah.
Even if she gets picked, something will probably have to happen. Like, they'll have to either get married or they'll have a terrible breakup, a real breakup.
Yeah. I mean, she said it so dismissively. It reminded me of something my mom would say. Well, like, yeah, but it's not. I mean, like, if I were The Bachelor and then I brought like four girls over or whatever, however many they introduced their parents, two or three, she'd be like, oh, okay, this is nice, but I mean, like, you know. It's not real, though. And I'm like, no, seriously.
Right after Corinne tells her that she loves him, too. Ugh.
And I don't know if it was her mom or her dad was like, are you sure? And then Corinne's justification for being in love was, well, we've been dating for a month and a half.
It was the dad. And then he goes, yeah, that's only 6 weeks.
That's only 6 weeks? And there's like an average of a dozen other women with him at that time. So not worth a lot. Okay, Vanessa hometown, Montreal. AB, we meet Vanessa's students. Right off the bat, she's got a leg up on everyone else in terms of hometown.
Gave me all sorts of feelings, Rim.
I think I cried.
This episode altogether, I thought was very well done. It made me forget about the rest of the trash of this season. And, you know, I remembered why I love this show to begin with.
That's good. That fills my heart. Hey, have you ever seen love from students to a teacher quite like this? I mean, they broke down as if they were thefts of the fucking Pope walked through the door.
It was crazy.
Crazy.
Do you feel a little bad about the smear campaign me and you put on her last week? Because I did.
That's my next bullet point. I said, I take back everything I said.
I felt really bad. Everything. I felt really bad.
Really bad. She goes to that school and teaches adult learners with learning disabilities every day of her life. And last week, we acted like she was a wannabe Tara Reid.
We fucking drug her through the mud. And we should be ashamed of that.
Not okay. You did it more than me. I wanted to believe.
You're the one who fucking brought the whole thing up.
Hey, listen,
I didn't even know about it. I mean, once you brought it up, I really pushed her face down in the mud.
Just keep in mind, I tried to keep this in mind last time around. She was basically an extra in like one scene. So don't again.
I felt bad about that.
I feel awful about that.
She's great.
Oh, she's great. And so, you know who else is great? The old dude in the corner, sitting at the corner of the table.
That guy was great,
giving Nick a little shit, letting him know that he's got one eye on this scrapbook and the other on you, Nick. So don't you dare disrespect Vanessa, because he will come after you. You want to meet the family?
Let's do it.
Vanessa seems to be extremely nervous about Nick meeting everyone. And for good reason. AB, there are a fuck ton of people of every living generation.
Opinionated people.
Opinionated. They all have accents, okay? And now, I assumed, since we're in Montreal, that they're French. I even wrote that they were a French-ass family. But towards the end of the episode, Vanessa mentioned something about being Italian. Was I just way off, or is she both? Could she be both? Her dad kind of looks Italian.
I don't get it. I mean, Corinne made fun of her for being Italian last week. Remember the whole pasta?
Grimaldi's her last name, Rim. Come on. That's a very Italian name.
Yeah. She's got an Italian family, but French.
I think her mom's side is French and her dad's side is Italian. Her dad had a little more olive look to him. Mm-hmm. Is that okay to say?
No.
Is that offensive? Any Italians?
Flat out.
The guy was olive. The guy looked olive. All right.
This is where it really hit home for me that none of these people know what the plan is with Nick. And we're getting very scarily close. It's getting scary how close we are to the end of this season and how little they know about Nick. Nobody knows what he does. Nobody knows where they're going to go if he picks them. Vanessa, in particular, knows nothing about the guy.
Yeah, that disappointed me. That I think it was one of her sisters asked. Now, it's one thing to not know if they'll move to Montreal or if they'll move somewhere else.
Sure.
It's one thing to not know. Where is Nick from? Oh, Milwaukee. Sorry.
Milwaukee, but he lives in Denver. No, where does he live?
Wherever the work is.
Wherever they're recorded.
Yeah. It's one thing to not know if you're going to move to Montreal or not. It's quite another when Vanessa's sister asks her, what's the plan? Like, flat out, what's the plan? And she just shrugs. She doesn't know what the plan is.
And Nick answers, we don't talk about that.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, so what do you talk about then?
Isn't that one of the first things you should be talking about?
Yeah, I'd agree.
What do you want to do after this, Nick? It wasn't even that. It wasn't even where you're going to move. It wasn't even digging that deep. They did later in the episode. But to start with, they just ask, what is Nick going to do after this season of The Bachelor is over?
Yep.
What
like 6 weeks.
Does he have a job? And nobody could answer that.
God. Hey, let's talk about Vanessa's mom. I want to make it clear that Nick is 0-for-4 on mother or parent discussions. This was the most cringeworthy.
This was the worst one.
This was the worst. I don't even want to say this. She asked Nick, okay, the man dating her daughter, with a better than 25% chance of engagement, what he loves about Vanessa, or something to that effect.
Yep.
Well, I mean, when she got out of the limo, it was just like, oh, man. I mean, can you imagine saying that?
That's slap-worthy. Right across your fucking face, Nick.
She wanted to slap him. She was like, okay. She's like, cut him off. She put her hands up. She's like, I'm not talking about looks. Nick, like, somebody had
why
to be like, Nick.
In God's name would I be talking about looks, Nick?
Hey, how hot do you think my daughter is? Pretty hot, right? Let me know. What do you think when she got out of the limo?
What a whiff.
Whiff. 0-for-4. And then, and we got a divorce parent situation here, and yep. He missed it with the dad, too. We got 0-for-5. 5 strikeouts, golden sombrero. All right. what do you got on her siblings?
Vanessa's sister comes with the real talk to both of them, and neither of them could come up with a reasonable answer to any of her questions. It had to be very disheartening for everyone in the family, to say the least.
Very disheartening. The mom is not in on this at all.
Why would she be?
The brother cried.
Yep.
And this is where I put, these French people have no toughness. They don't. They're crying their eyes out. I don't want you to get hurt again. Well, they're Italian, so that answers that. Maybe be a little less judgmental. But anyway, yeah, I'd give that a failed. On Nick's part, that was a failure of a family visit. Nothing good came of that. Nothing good.
No, nothing good.
You want to meet Vanessa's dad, French Don Vito? Just like kind of older weight, middle-aged men. I call him Don Vito. Awkward, instant wine. It was post-dinner, so it was instant wine situation with dad and his wife. Vanessa describes their relationship by rattling off the places they've been. Not a great move on her part.
Vanessa's stepmom then is like, so it's like a big vacation then. This is a joke.
She goes, not quite. Actually, that's exactly what this relationship has been. Okay? You haven't experienced one moment of real life with Nick, and when you do, it will be terrible.
Can we agree? Vanessa at one point said she has the same relationship with her mom and her dad. She has a much better relationship with her mom's side of the family. Can we agree on that?
It's not even
like
close.
There's an obvious A and B divorce family situation. The mom's the A side, B's the side she doesn't want to be at.
Yep. Well, she kept the house too. I mean, that's definitely like the house they grew up in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then
oh,
the
yeah.
dad's like at a condo for sure. what do you got with Vanessa's dad sitting down with Nick? I mean, talk about another blown interaction. Probably, I gotta imagine this is one of the most awkward interactions you've seen on this show.
This was, yeah, very awkward. Nick just didn't, he did not handle the asking them for their daughter's hand in marriage well. Just didn't do it well.
In general, you mean, for any of them?
This one in particular. I think when you're doing this, you, because you obviously at this point don't know, and you have to explain that to them. And I think he did a good job the first, when he's talking to Raven's dad, where he says, if your daughter and I decide that at the end of this, we want to get engaged, is that going to be okay with you? And you got to put it mm-hmm. that way, more so than actually asking, like he did with her, with Vanessa's dad. He kind of switched up what he was, his question.
He changed the wording slightly,
but
it made a huge difference.
Just slightly, where it was more like a real life situation, where you know, like how I would ask my wife's dad, you know, when I had to ask him.
Shout out to you for doing that. Not everybody does that.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the word blessing was used, and that is where you're like, he's not going to give you his blessing per se. He might be okay with it, but he's not going to bless.
Yeah.
A 25% chance of it happening.
He says, I just can't give you my blessing just like this. Like, what do you mean?
He's like, I just fucking met you. I'm pretty sure they bleeped out an F word.
Vanessa's dad then asks, did you ask this to everyone?
Oh.
Nick says, in a way, yes.
Oh, God. He blew this so hard. In a way, yes. What do you mean, in a way? Like, he was treating him like an adolescent who missed curfew and came up smelling like alcohol. He's like, drink alcohol or not? He's like, well, you know, in a way, what do you mean? Yes or no? Drink alcohol? Fucking smack. Yeah, well, but AB, he gave him his blessing anyway.
I'm not sure why.
What was that? That came out of nowhere.
I'm not sure why. I'm not sure how this turned. But somehow Nick got the blessing.
What did Nick say that was like, oh, okay, I'll give you my blessing in those like 2 minutes?
Nothing. He tried to skirt around the questions, didn't really give him any answers, and then for some reason her dad weaked out and gave the blessing.
The guy, I have weaked out also, and I also have a weak ass. Vanessa talks to her dad after this, whereupon her father reveals that Nick also asked the other... Well, first he says, he did ask for my blessing. Vanessa's all excited. Then he says, but he asked everybody else too.
Mm-hmm.
And Vanessa's crestfallen. Here we are again with Vanessa, sharp, 29 years old, gets it, on top of her stuff, familiar with the show. Still doesn't seem to understand how it works. Of course he asked everybody else. Of course.
She seemed to think that this show was over, that she has this thing won. And I'm not sure why she thinks that, because she doesn't even have that strong of a relationship. If we're being honest, none of them do.
No, 2 hours earlier, it came to light that they didn't know where they're going to do after in like 3 weeks. So I don't know why she thought she was a shoe-in. She said, if he's not sure at this point, it makes me want to reevaluate where we're at in this relationship.
What are you talking
about? Newsflash, he's not sure. That's why there are 3 other people left. That's how this works.
You gotta remember, Nick is Mr. fucking Fantasy Suite. King Fantasy Suite. He's not deciding anything till after them Fantasy Suites go down. Better believe that.
Okay, that reminds me of a quote from the very beginning of the episode. He said something along the lines of, you know, I don't regret anything, like talking about his whole experience on these shows. He said, I don't regret anything. Do I wish Andy sent me home before Hometowns? No. Of course you don't, you scum sleaze, slime ball, scum fuck, gross. Of course you don't. Of course you're not glad that
You forget how sleazy. This was the least sleazy Nick episode yet, and a lot of it probably is because he had to stay sober for most of it.
Yes, good great point. He was
sober. The guy was sober and fighting off alcoholism withdrawals.
I didn't even think of this. I'm bad at judging whether or not people on TV are drunk. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. unless it's like a storyline, every episode you're like, man, Rim, Nick was hammered this episode. I'm like, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I was sober this time. That's why he was kind of more reserved. He didn't blow it quite as much, and he wasn't as much of a drunk sleazeball that he normally is.
Listen, that's all true. Those are facts. Sobriety got Nick through this episode in one piece.
Really did.
All right. Well, that's it for Vanessa's. She ended it with, you know, she's terrified. I'm terrified of not ending up with Nick, and I'm scared I'm going to regret all this. Let's get one thing straight right now. You're definitely going to regret this, especially now that we know you're not the next Bachelorette. Yep. Like, that's a fact.
There's no good situation for you at this point, Vanessa. Because she's not going to be a Bachelor in Paradise girl.
No. You want to talk about crestfallen?
Yeah.
I would die of a broken heart if she went on Bachelor in Paradise. Do you understand that? All right, AB. That's it for hometowns. They go to Brooklyn for some reason. Shout out to your boy who heard it from loyal listener Alyssa. Andy Dorfman, surprise. Called it.
She called that? I kind of called that too.
I called it. You didn't think that was it. You said it was Liz. You said it was Liz or somebody else.
No, I said it was Liz or one of the two.
Oh, it was her sister. No, you said it was Liz or her sisters.
Listen, play the tapes.
I
said it was Liz. I thought it looked like Liz, but I thought it might be Andy or Caitlin or her sister. I said those four.
You kind of sprayed out. You sprayed out a lot of answers there.
A lot of answers, but one of them was right. and I get some credit for that.
All right, that's fair. What do you think is going to go down here? There was an Instagram pic with the two, like, kind of joking around, having a fun time. What is she going to say to this guy? I don't know her, so.
I mean, she wrote a tell-all book about him.
Just about him?
Him and Josh. It was about her whole Bachelor thing, and a huge portion of it was about him, and it wasn't good stuff about him.
Do you own the book by chance? Can I check this book out from the AB library?
Seems like something I should own, though.
AB's Bachelor, former Bachelor contestant, author library. Yeah. Okay.
But she is
single
now.
That doesn't answer my question, though.
I don't think
she's not with this Josh guy.
Yeah, she picked Josh over Nick. But then Josh and her broke up. And then she wrote a tell-all book about Nick and Josh.
That's how you get that money. Nick's going to have to figure out how to read and write so we can put one of those together.
I don't know what this is about other than the producers probably paid her to come on and spark up some drama.
I think that's got to be it, because if Andy Dorfman isn't coming on in the next episode, I mean, I can imagine viewer interest waning, casual viewer interest, of which we are not, and neither are our listeners. Shout out to y'all. But casual viewers, people who skip in and out of some seasons... You know Rachel's an ex-bachelorette. You hate Nick. You don't, you know, care if he ends up with Corinne. Maybe you know a spoiler. I mean, whatever the case, there's a lot of reasons why someone would stop watching at this point.
Absolutely.
So I feel like that's the you got to tune in moment, and nothing's going to come of it.
No, absolutely. Don't fall for this, Rim. Don't fall for it.
I won't.
It's a trap.
All right. Well, that's all I got. You got any off-screen buzz this week?
Off-screen buzz. No, I had some Hoxie... stats for you if you'd like some of them.
I would love some Hoxie stats, please.
AB's Hoxie minute. Number one, Rim, total people in that town.
Well, let me guess.
Take a
guess.
Go with
1300.
That's too low. 2710.
Okay.
In the town of Hoxie. I did some searching, some real estate searching, see what the, you know, what the houses are like. The house market is up there.
Why not?
You could build a mansion there for $45,000, maybe? I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's because you're going to have to do it on a swamp. Like, the foundation is going to collapse in 5 years.
Best house I found
in
the market
years.
Was $80,000, and it was big and nice.
What?
$80,000. There was also, a very livable house for
$40,000. Damn. Yep. All right.
Hoxie is also known, Rim, for...
That's unbelievable, by the way. Those home prices
as a former real estate agent are unbelievable.
Staggering.
We're talking about good square footage, Rim. New interior design.
Okay. Full acreage. Appliances included.
Like, it made me think about, what am I doing living in a city when I could be down in Hoxie living like a oil fucking
like a baron
oil man.
What the fuck am I doing?
All right, what's the other thing?
Hoxie was known for one of the first places to desegregate their schools.
Oh.
But the people of Hoxie threw a fit. So it had to go to like court. It was one of the first places that also had to do that. So
Just
a little something about the population of Hoxie.
Okay. All right. No, I'm sure Raven's boyfriend's a fine guy. boyfriend. Well, in that case, AB, thank you for that off-screen Hoxie update, the Hoxie Minute. Thank you all for listening to the Roastcast. It's Tuesday. I hope this comes out on Wednesday. I can't guarantee it'll be ready in the morning. So if you've made it this far and you're pissed, last week it came out on Thursday because I fell asleep editing. All right, you want me to say it? I passed out. All right, give me a break. If it's Thursday and you're listening to this and you're mad, you can send me a direct message at RoseCastCS on Twitter and let it be known. Just know that, I apologize. But if you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. If you have an extra minute of your day, I need you to do us a huge favor and search hit the bottom right magnifying glass in iTunes on your phone. Search for the Roastcast, tap the icon in the bottom, hit reviews in the middle, hit write a review, leave a 5-star review, and you'll be entered to win a prize. I don't know what the prize is, and I don't know how we'll contact you if you win, and we don't know your real names most of the time, but you'll be entered to win a prize, something like that. Anyway, thank you for doing it. Once again, my name is Rim. I may be.
And I may be.
There you go. Chemistry. All right. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.